No. Okay. So we're Kohen Gadol Shemes in the bottom of Chafam Beis. So you're going back to the machlokas we had regarding the Kohen Gadol who died, right? So now the question was, you know, he died in between. I guess he died in between the first part of his mincha, the second part, after part of his mincha. So it's a machlokas whether the mincha is, in the afternoon is brought either from his estate or it comes from the public funds. So the Gemara says Kohen Gadol Shemes, Rabbi Bar Bar Memel Boy. So he asks, Milchalfo Shitaseid Rabbi Shimon. Taman Amar Mishal Yorshin, Vahacha Amar Mishal Tibor. So this whole sugya is lifted from a Gemara in Menachos. And so where it says over here, Hacha, Hacha means Menachos, and Taman, which over there means Shkalim, because they lifted the sugya apparently and didn't switch it to what's going on. So he says, so we're going back over here. So it seems to be that the opinion of Shimon is reversed. When it says Taman there, which is meaning our Mishnah in Shkalim, he says that originally the Din Doraisa was that the mincha should be brought from his estate, from his heirs. This is how we know that's because he says, Rav Shimon said that the mincha is brought from public funds only midin derabanan. So midoraisa, really it should have been brought from the yarshim, but the hacha and over here, which here is the price that we just quoted, which is the price of Menachos, Rav Shimon says that midin deraisa the money would come from the public funds. So he derives that from the fact that it said chok olam. Right, it should come from the public fund. So what's going on? What happened? So Rabbi Chia Barba said, the lo yosu maksha? He adds a lot. Yeah, that's a good question. So I thought maybe it means the lo yosu maksha may be rhetorical. That's not a good question. I have an answer. But everyone translates it here. It goes, yeah, it's a legitimate question. I don't know how hard. Is that a good question? So us.
You can have it either way.
That's what he says? Yeah, okay. So us and Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha. Rabbi Abba was saying Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara answers that when Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba came, I guess he came to Eretz Yisrael, so he said that Rabbi Abba, so the name of Rabbi Yochanan, said Dvar Torah hu shetevah min hatzibor. Mido raisa, it's supposed to come min hatzibor, which is what he said in the Gemara, which he said in the Mishnah Menachos, because it says, right, chok olam. So that's supposed to come hatzibor. Ha'isi omer yigvu la hiskinu yishtetevah, skip the Mir Yarshim, hiskinu shetevah mitrumas halishka. So he said, Rabbi Shimon did not mean to say otherwise. It should come from Midoraisa, it should come from the public funds, because it says Chokolam. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says, because it's a Korban Tzibor, I guess. So you might have said that it should come from the Yorshim. To make sure we adhere to the Din Doraisa, they made a Takana de Rabbanon, that it should come from the Trumas Halishka. Right, so that seems to be just different stages in the process. The Mishnayos represent different stages. Okay, pick up today's stuff. Rav Yosi, Amar Rav Yochanan Bayi. So Rav Yosi, Amar Yochanan says, Mahu, Shleim B'Shachmas, Shleim Ben Arbayim, or Shleim B'Shachmas, B'Tela Ben Arbayim. So the Mishnah said that the mincha that's brought between, right, let's say there's a Kohen Gadol dies, right, and then they haven't appointed the next Kohen Gadol. So the Mishnah said that instead of splitting up, right, normally you split up the Chatzi Yisroel in the morning, Chatzi Lo Yisroel in the morning, but here they said you bring it all one shot, right? You bring the whole tenth of the Eifa, right? The whole tenth of the Eifa is brought together. So the question the Gemara asks, what does that mean it's all brought together? Does that mean you bring the whole tenth in the morning and the whole tenth in the evening? Or you just bring the whole tenth in the morning and you forget the evening. You don't do it in the evening. You bring the whole tenth as opposed to the half of the tenth, right? The Kohen Gadol normally brings half a tenth of the eight in the morning, half a tenth in the evening. Now there's no Kohen Gadol, we're in this in between. So you bring the whole tenth. When is that whole tenth brought? Two times or one time? I mean, do we just increase the shear of the Korban Mincha, or we just decrease the amount of times that you bring this Korban Mincha? So the Gemara says, Kad tehe pshitilei dechsev minchas tamim. He says that I guess that off answer is answered, because the pasuk says minchas tamid. So it says tamid, which means perpetually. Perpetually means half in the morning, half in the evening. So what you do now is you're just increasing the size, and that half of that size goes in the morning, and half of that size goes in the evening. So the Gemara asks again. So I'm not sure if that's an answer or that's part of the question. The other one says, okay, shlosh lushlugin mahein. So what's the halacha regarding the three log of oil that the Kohen Gadol would bring every day together with his mincha. He would bring half in the morning and half in the evening. So now he's bringing one. Is that the, what's the din? So do we bring now shloshes, right, shloshes lugim shachris, shloshes lugim erbayim? Since we're increasing it now, you're increasing the flour, so you're increasing the oil. So do we increase the flour and the oil again and say that three log are born in the morning and three log are born in the evening? Or only now do we just take three log and we're splitting one and a half in the morning, one and a half in the evening? And the same today thing, Amar Rav Chizkiya, A'uf hadot tzrichale, which I think he says here, also wonders about this. What's the halacha by the komets? Right, shnei komtsi mahen. Since you're increasing the amount of flour, so you're increasing the komets. So shnei komtsi mahen. Shnei komtsi b'shachar, shnei komtsi b'nerbayim. Do we bring two fistfuls in the morning and two fistfuls in the evening? Or komets achar b'shachar, komets achar b'nerbayim. Or do we do no? Since we have two, right, shnei. Or is it only one komets in the morning? In other words, are we increasing the komets as well? Or the komets is still going to be one komets in the morning, one komets in the evening? You obviously bring the komets. I guess since we answered that you're bringing one in the evening and one in the afternoon, so now the komets, does it increase in size because you've increased the amount of flour? So it's two komets in the morning, two komets in the evening? Or is it only one komets in the morning or one komets in the evening? So Amar Rav Yosei, kum lamdu komets lo mimilchas chote? Didn't we learn the concept of komets from the regular sinners mincha, from the minchas chote? Right, the halacha there, so halacha here should be learned from the halacha there. Malahan shnei kotzim, avkan shnei kotzim. Just like there, when they double the amount of flour, you double the amount of komets. So to here, since we've doubled the amount of flour, we should double the amount of komets. So that's simple. So everything should be doubled. So then the Gemara says, man taman tzrichale, avhacha tzrichale. So I don't know which way. Article. There are two ways I think you learned it. One answer is to say, just like you answered over there, same way you have, just like over there you need it, so too over here you need it. Or you can say, which is the complete opposite, just like we need an answer there, so too we need an answer here. Meaning, there is also a suffix, so we don't know the answer there, we're not going to know the answer here. Or you can say, no, we know the answer there, therefore we know the answer here. Complete opposite ways of learning it. Right? He says over here, just as there, with regard to the meal offering in general, he requires a resolution, i.e. he does not know the answer as to whether a double measure is needed, so to here, we don't know the answer. And or you can say the other way around, matam tzrichale, I mean just like there you need to increase the komets, so to here you need to increase the komets. But I just don't know which way to go. So Amar Rabbi Chizkiya, Rabbi Chizkiya then says, what about the following question? He says, klum about the log, right, the log of the oil. Klum lamanu shloshes lugim lomi tamet shevin arbayim. Didn't we learn out the idea of shloshes lugim from the tamet shevin arbayim? Malahal and shloshes lugim. Avkan shloshes lugim. Right, they learned the idea of three log of oil must be brought along with the mincha from the korban mincha in the evening. Right, so just as there, right, in the case of the korban mincha, it's three log per one-tenth. So too in the case when you've increased the korban mincha, it needs to be three log per one-tenth. And since here we're increasing the korban mincha, right, so you have to make it three log as opposed to a log and a half. So again, the more answers are man tamat tzrichalei, avkan tzrichalei. Either, oh yeah, just like there you need it, so to here you need it. Or just like there we don't have a resolution, so to here we don't have a resolution. Okay, then the Mishnah said that one who gets hana from the ashes, from the efar of the paraduma, lo yeah, he's not liable for me'ila. It's not being mauled for using the ashes of the paraduma. So the Gemara says, really, they really should have me'ila for using it because it's kaddish to the base of Mikdash. It should be me'ila. The hengaz rishlo yimalubah, but they made a gzeira that you don't get me'ila from it. The Gemara says, wait a second, how can you do that? V'hatani chatas. We see this all the time. The paraduma is called the chatas. Milamet shalolimah. Even though it's not carbon born in the mizbeach, but the Torah describes it as a karbon. It calls it a chatas. So if you're molin a chatas, you're molin this. The Gemara says, Ein lechnami. Right? You're molin the animal. You're just not molin the ashes. The Gemara says, ba molin ve'in molin be'efra. Yeah, only with the animal itself would you be chayiv for me'ila. But you're not going to be chayiv for misusing the ashes. So therefore, according to here, it seems to indicate that midin d'oraisa, you're not chayiv for me'ila. First, we said, Rabbi Shimon said, but then who that you are chayiv. Here we're saying no, just from the pasuk he's saying you're not chayiv midoraisa for me'ila, right? Which seems to be a machlokas now. So Amar, so how's it work? So Amar Rabbi Yovel, Rabbi Yovel says like this, this is what it was. Barishona hayu mishtakshikin, thanks for the back, ba, the nose and osal gali makloseim. They thought it had some sort of either medicinal or magical healing powers, and that they would use, the Kohanim would misuse the ashes and put them on their wounds to see that they would heal. if keys can bring parnasa, so these things can bring healing. And if it don't seem outside, I'll gali vakoseim. Because Rishim Alubo, so they didn't want him taking these ashes and putting it on there and putting it on there. And maybe you would say the ashes have medicinal purposes, but then why were they using the paraduma ashes specifically? They should be using all ashes. They were specifically using the paraduma ashes because they thought that it had some sort of power. So the Gemara, the Chacham didn't want them to misconstrue that there is something going on here. So they said, and also it's inappropriate to be using hektesh for your own personal gain, even if you're not chayav me'ila. So the gazru sheyim olibah. So they made a gzera, and whoever uses that would be moel. So midah rice are really not moel, like the pasuk says. Original midah in the rabbanon is that you are moel. Kavan Nigdaru, so once people saw this and they stopped using the ashes for these medicinal purposes, Gazru Shalim Aluba. They went back to the original Doraisa and they said that you're not going to Mosul. There's three stages. Okay, then the Mishnah says,
Va'alakim. They won't be Matame if they use the ashes.
Why they be Matame?
Well, I just have this understanding with the Paraduma that anyone who touches it becomes.
No, it's somebody who prepares it. It's the person who prepares it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah says, now they're talking about the kinim. So again, this is a Gemara that I think we saw earlier, right? The Mishnah discussed the pairs of the kinim, the two birds that if one goes, I think the case over here was, right? The case was what if you're replacing disqualified birds, whose money do you use to replace those disqualified birds? So Rabbi Yossi, so we said that they should come from the public funds. And Rabbi Yossi said, no, that whoever supplies all the bird offerings, there's a guy who has a contract with the Beis HaMikdash, he says as part of their contract, if birds become bustle, he has to supply more. He gets a good deal, he gets a constant flow of income. Part of that is he needs to be on tap in case something goes wrong with the birds. He has to resupply additional birds with free of charge, I guess. So now that they mentioned kinim, so the Gemara repeats the Gemara that we had on Daf Yutes about the money that was found in between the different boxes. So there was money that was found. There's money that was found between the corner, the boxes, whatever they are. Marked one box is marked Kinim, and one box is marked Olos. And you find money in between. So the Gemara said over there, you put it for Olos. So the Gemara asked, "But Yishasos the Mahimis Kaperes." So what's going on? A woman came and she put money in because she's either Zava, or she's a Yoledes, and she needs her money to go to Zachatas. And now you're taking this money and putting it in the Ola. So how is she going to get Kapara? Because her money didn't go to bring a Karban Chatas. So Gemara says, so Isha Zos Vam is Kaparis. Amrev, yes, Tanai Beisdin. No, it's a Tanai Beisdin. Again, the same. It's a Beisdin says, Hamisapik is a Kinim, Humisapik is a Psulos, that's an Ovdos. Whoever is the supplier, his deal is that he's going to supply if something goes wrong. Here's something went wrong. So they keep a ledger and they say, listen, we have lost money here. Four coins came out. So that means it's a possibility of four chatos just went to Olos. You, bird supplier, supply us now with four new birds that we're going to bring as a chatos. So we know that whoever donated the money that got lost, they get a chatos on there. That's part of the deal. He gets a good deal. He gets a constant flow. And this is just one of the things he has to do. Because Olos can be voluntary offerings. So there's a suffix as to whether or not this can be brought. You can't bring a chatos unless it's... Not by birds. Right. That's not the rule by birds. I think the idea is because it's voluntary, so you can just put it up and say, and it's voluntary. But the chatas, you need to know for certain that there's an owner that's getting kapara for it. You can't bring a chatas without a bailin. I think that's why it's by birds. You're definitely right by the animals.
You can replace the birds if the bird seller is going to wind up having to replace the birds. I mean, essentially doing the same thing.
He only has to replace the chatas.
Exactly.
Right. But I know the person, we took out four. And now they're saying that these are for sure chatos. We don't know for sure that the money that came out is olos. We don't know for sure. We can now be certain that these are going to be for chatos. Okay. Next parak. Kol harukin hanimsoim b'Yerushalayim tohorim. All the spit and phlegm, I guess, like that, besides being gross, grinding in the street, but anything that's found, all the spit that's found in the streets of Yerushalayim, I guess you're concerned, right, you're concerned that... Something came from Azov or Azava or something that it's Tameh, because the liquid that comes from Azov is Tameh. But you know, say no, anything that's found in Yerushalayim is Tahorin, because we're going to assume that most people coming to Yerushalayim are Tahor, because why are they coming to Yerushalayim? They come to the Beis HaMikdash. I guess we're not considering the people actually live there. Maybe only Kohanim lived there, so they also kept Tahara, right? Nowadays, Yerushalayim is a big tourist attraction, so maybe it'll be different. But, well, not today, but hopefully soon. His kol arokim hanimsayim b'yushalayim tahorim, chutz mishel shukah elyon, except for the spit that's found in the upper marketplace, according to Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir holds. We'll see what the story is with the stuff in the upper marketplace. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no. Rabbi Yossi says, depends on the time of the year. Bishar kol yom shoshanah, during the rest of the year, means during the entire year, except for the shalosh regalim, shebe emsa tameim, shebe tzadim tahorim. So you had the, basically you had the road, and then you had the sides, right? You have like, you have this, and the sidewalk. So on the middle of the road, that's where most people walk. So during the year, tameim are going to be walking in the middle of the street, and therefore anything that's found in the middle, is going to be tamei. So the tahor people are walking on the side, because most people may not be tahor, because it's not alila regel. But, b'shas haregel, when everyone's coming up to be makar korbanos, so the assumption is that more people are going to be tahor than people are going to be tamei, then it's the opposite. Shebe emtsa, that in the thoroughfare is going to be tahor. Shebe tzadim tameim, the tzadim or tameim, mipnei shamu utim, mestaklim l'tzadim. Whoever's in the miut is going to walk to the sides. So during the yontif season, who's the miut? The miut is the tamei people, they're on the side. During the year, Rabbi Yossi says, who's the miut? The miut is the tahor people, they're on the side, and the tamei people are going to be on the main road. Now, Kol ha'kelim ha'nimtzav Yerushalayim derech yirida l'beis ha'tfila t'meim v'derech aliyah t'horim shelo ki yiridasan aliyasan divar of Meir. Meir says that if you're in Yerushalayim, and you find kelim, you find utensils. Depends where you found them. If you found them on the steps, if you see this now also in the archaeological digs, the mikvos had two stairwells. You had a stairwell going down, a stairwell, you've seen all of them. They go down, going up, so I guess the people don't bump into each other. It makes sense. So if you found kelim on the downstairs, I guess they said the stairs going down, the stairs going up. So if you found kelim on the downstairs, you assume that they are tamei, because they haven't gone into the mikveh yet. The guy just must have maybe dropped them on the way down. And if you see kelim on the stairwell, that's the upstairwell, then you assume that they're tahor, because you assume that the guy dropped them, I guess, after he put them into the mikveh. Right? Kol ha-kelim, so derech yirida on the base of tefillah tameim, on the derech yirida on the way down, they're tamei, but derech aliyah on the way up, they're tahor. That's Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yossi says, Rav Yossi Omer, no, kul on tahorim, he say that all of them are going to be considered tahor, ikhutz min hasal, except for the basket, the hamagrefa, which is the shovel, and the meritza. The meritza is like some sort of, it's like a pickaxe, he seems to say. Some sort of pickaxe, right? Hamiyuchadim l'kvaros. I guess these tools are used for grave digging and stuff like that, so they're presumed to have been used, and they're presumed to be tameh. I guess no matter which way they are, he doesn't care about which way in the mikvah, up or down. He just based it on what type of tool. Now, the Gemara, this is a mission that we saw in Psachim, and here's the source, right? Sakin shenimseis ba'arbasar. Okay, sakin shenimseis ba'arbasar shochav amiyad. If you find a knife in the street on the 14th of Nisan, you can use it right away and assume that it's tahor. Because why is a knife in your slime on the Erev Pesach? It's there to shech the carbon, to shech the carbon Pesach, so you can assume it's tahor. But b'shlosh asar shone el matpil. We find on the 13th, you say maybe the guy wasn't matpil it yet, because of course, like a good Jew, he's waiting till the last minute. So he's going to wait till the last minute, and the 13th, it's not going to be tahor, so you have to tovel again, so you can use it to shech. Kopitz is a cleaver, which is used to chop up the meat and the body parts. So b'zeh shone el matpil. So that, even if you find it on the 14th, you have to be told it, because it's used to chop it up, but you don't chop up the Korban Pesach, because you're not allowed to break the bones. So the kopetz has no use for the Korban Pesach, so even if you find it on the 14th, you assume that it wasn't made tahor for use at the time, and therefore you have to tovel again. But chal arbasa lios b'Shabbos, if the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, then shochet b'miyad. Then you can use the cleaver right away. You can use, why? Because you're not allowed to tovel it on Shabbos. So this person must, and he wants to use it, why? Because he's going to bring a Korban Chagiga on the Yontif. And he's going to use this cleaver to chop up the Korban Chagiga. So therefore, he must have toveled it before Shabbos, so he can use this for the Korban Chagiga on Monday, I guess. So, okay. But now, B'chamisha Asar, Shochet B'miyad. And also, this cleaver was found on the 15th, then you can use it right away also, because you can assume he toveled it already, because he's using it on the 15th, again, for his Korban for Kosham Chagiga. Now, Nimsa Kshula Sakin, if you find the cleaver tied to the knife, then Hareki Sakin, then it has the same rules of the Sakin, so even if you find it on the 14th, you can use it and not have to be totally. Okay. So now the Gemara is going back. According to Rav Meir, all the spit that's found in Yerushalayim is going to be Tahor, except it was found in the upper marketplace. So what's the Shuk El Yom? So Rabbi Avin, B'Shem Rabbi Shu Ben Levi, Katzron Shal Nachron Hayusham. the Katzron, it seems to indicate that there was some sort of fortress. It was a Roman garrison that was stationed up in the upper marketplace, and they were Goyim, so they, usually Goyim can't become Zav, but they were Gozer on their spit, that it would be a Tomid the Rabbanon. Right? So they made a Takana that that their spit is going to be Tameh, and since, so that's the case. If you find spit up there, you have to assume it came from the Romans, and they're Tameh the Rabbanon. Amar Rabbi Chanina, he's telling us a story that happened about this fortress, which was Arodos Hayunocharim B'Yushalayim. I guess they had an overabundance of Arodos. He says that they're wild donkeys. Right? I don't know. You have these Arodos, and they were killing them in Yerushalayim. They were, he says over here, quotes the Gemara Menachos, that they were used to feed the lions and were in the circus. This is what they would feed the lions with. And they were shechting so much, by ole regalim mishtak in badam ar arkubosayim. There was so much blood flowing from them that when the people came up for Lila Regel, they were walking ankle high in the blood of these Arodos. It's interesting because this ankle high metaphor is used a lot for, we always know it, that in the Beis Hamikdash, there's so much Korban Pesach that the Kohanim are walking ankle high in the blood. Here we're using it for a different way. Okay, ubaluf nechachamim. So I guess the problem was, they wanted to know out if they wanted to know if they became tameh, because they're all alila regel, and now they're walking in all this blood from the arodos, from a non-kosher animal. Are they going to become tameh? So baluf nechachamim v'lo alam lehen, and they didn't say anything. And the Gemara says here, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, Rabbi Shimon Chanina, Katzron shalachon Yisham. I think that comes out. I don't know if it's in your gears or not, but that probably comes out. So they don't know what to do. So Rabbi Simon b'Shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So they didn't say anything. I guess lo lo davar, I guess means then they didn't say anything. Meaning they said they were not tameh. They said, oh, I guess they assumed that it was okay. So even though the carcass would be matameh you because it's a nevela, but the blood of the nevela here apparently is not going to be matameh you. Now Rabbi Simon b'Shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Simon the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi brings a story. And I think we saw this. In Pesachim, it's definitely a repeat from somewhere. Right, Maisa bepredo mishalbeis Rebbe Shemesa. So you had this one, this mule from the house, right, from the house of Rebbe that died. So it's a nevela. Mitiaru astamem mishum nevela, and they said his blood is tamar. They don't have to worry about the blood becoming mitamiyu. So Rabbi Lazar shalom Rabbi Simon. So Rabbi Lazar asked Rabbi Simon ad kamo, how much blood? Right, because if you say so, he says velo agive, and he didn't answer him. How much blood? Maybe there's a limit. Maybe if there's too much blood, it is going to be tamayu. Because too much blood, if it congeals, will turn into a kazayas, and then it's going to be the same thing as a solid. Remember had that what the ratio was. So shalom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, amar le ad revius tahor. No, up to revius of blood will be tahor. But Yosem Mikain, but more than that, right? So this is what so Levi said. More than that, it's tamei. And Rabbi Lazar, I guess, was angry or annoyed that Rabbi Simon didn't answer him with what halacha is. Halacha is that this is tameh, this is tahor, only at revius and less. But more than revius, it would be. Sorry, this is tahor, only at revius and less. But this would be tameh if it was more than revius. Okay, Rav Bevi, another Gemara goes on. Rav Bevi, Havi Yosef, Masne Hadein Uvda. So Rav Bevi was sitting around. And he was teaching the story about the story about the mule of the house of Shua ben of Yehuda and Nasi, which they said that I guess the Chachamim said that it doesn't make you tamei. And Amar Le Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna Ad Kama. He asked him again, how much? Right? Amar Le Ad Revius Tahor up to Revius is Tahor. Yosef Mikan Tamei. More than that's gonna be tamei. Ubod Bei. And then I guess then Rav Bevi then kicked Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Zrika says to Rabbi Abi, Amalei Rabbi Zrika, begin to have Yisharlach ad Boit Bei. What, the guy asks you a question and you kick him? What's going on here? Why are you kicking him? So he says, no, I kicked him because my mind is off. Why is his mind off? Because he's worried about his parnasa. Right, so Amalei, begin to lo have Daiti Bei. He's like, I apologize, my mind was unsettled. He didn't do anything wrong. Dam Rabbi Chanin, because Rabbi Chanan said, quotes the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, Vayuchayecha tluyim lecha mineged. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. What does that mean, your life is in doubt? Zeush lokeach lochitin l'shana. This is a person who doesn't have his own field, and he has to buy his yearly supply of wheat. Then it says, you'll be feared night and day. What's that? Zeush lokeach min hasidiki. That's the person who has to buy wheat from the storekeeper a bit at a time. Yeah, the whole thing is a repeat. Yeah, we did. This is a repeat, right? Zelish lekeach v'nasidiki. V'lo samin b'chayecha, the pasuk says, and then you're not going to be, you have no assurances in your life. Zelish lekeach min apalta. That's a person who has to buy bread from the baker. He has no access of having his own food. He lives day to day. So he lives day to day, right? V'ana samach apalta. And I'm somich on the baker. I have to live day to day, and my mind is always elsewhere. I lost it, and I kicked him. I'm sorry. He did nothing wrong. It's on me. Right? You know, my. Okay. So, huh? Yeah, my bad. Right? Makedon. So in the end, what's the halacha regarding the blood of the nevela? So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Avius, where Hey Rabbi Yeshua ben Petora al dam nevela shu tar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Petora testified that the blood of the nevela is going to be tar, which is mashma that it's tar, even more than a quarter log. Then the Gemara says, no, ma tar, it wasn't mean tar, it's tar mila hachshir. Hali tamos metame. What it means tar is that even though blood is what can use to be machshir something else to make it become tame, the blood of the nevela is not machshir, right? It doesn't make it susceptible to tuma, right? But litamos, but it itself, it seems over here that itself regarding it conferring tuma, then it does go tuma. It does. So tama taninon. But then the Gemara says, wait a second, you have that Gemara in Adios, but there's a Mishnah in Adios, there's a Mishnah in Machshirin that says as follows, Dam hasheretz metame kibsaro, the blood of a creeping animal, of a sheretz, it renders something tamei, it's just like its flesh renders something tamei, right? Metamei ve'enel machshir, its blood can be metamei, but it cannot be machshir, cannot make something else susceptible. The ein lanu kayotzeva, and nothing else is like this. Meaning it's only the blood of the sheretz that if it's not machshir, but it's metame, nothing else. So that would mean the blood of the nevela would not be tame. So you have the Mishnah in Adios seems to say the blood of the nevela is metame, and the Mishnah in machshirin says that it is not metame. So the ein lanu, so the Mar says, no, the ein lanu, what does it mean, the ein lanu kayotzeva? Ein lana kayotzevo kishir tumaso. It's just the size, right? It's ein lana kayotzevo that the size that's metamed by the sheretz is very small. Aval damo metamed kibsaro. But the blood of the nevela is going to be metamed just like the flesh is. So the difference is that the blood of a sheretz is a very small amount. Right, kamina dasha. That's going to be metamed. The blood, nothing is like that. Nothing has such a small shear. But blood of the nevela is going to also be mitame. So Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, this happens to be machlokas about whether or not the blood of the nevela is mitame. Pliga batrein amorayim, chad amar tame, the chad amar tahor. One says it's mitame, one says it's not, it remains tahor. Manda amar tame, the one who says it's tame, it's Rabbi Yehuda. The one who says it's tame holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Which one is Rabbi Yehuda? Which is Rabbi Yehuda's the Mishnah Adios, I believe. What? That's Rabbi Yeshua, though.
No, it says
Yehuda. I know, but we quoted the Mishnah as being Rabbi Yeshua ben Besora, who was made. So who's Rabbi Yehuda? Must be Rabbi Yehuda appears somewhere in the Mishnayos. Okay, so Manda Amar Tamik Rabbi Yehuda, Umanda Amar Tahor, the one who says Tahor, that's going to be Rabbi Yeshua ben Torah. That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Torah, who says that the Dam Nevelos is Tahor. Right, that, and then we interpreted all Tahor means to make it susceptible. Pasha says he says it's Tahor. So Amalei Rav Avduma de Minachosa Biyos. Yeah, that sounds right. The Rabbi Yehuda Moraina de Benisiyah Haba, because Rabbi Yehuda was, I guess, the Mor de Asra of the house of the Nasi, and Rabbi Yehuda was the one who says that it's Tameh, and the story of the mule, they said it was Tameh if it went above the Revius. So it makes sense since he, the Mor de Asra of the house, was the one who paskin for that house that the blood was Tameh. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, he's the one who's going to say that it is Tahor. And they don't have an answer. Okay. So Kol HaRokin, back to the spit. Right? Back to the spit. Right, so according to Rav Meir, all the spit found in Yerushalayim is tahor, except for the spit that's found in the Shuk Elyon, in the upper marketplace. So lo kein amar Rabbi Yavo v'shem Rabbi Yosi b'chanina. No, the Gemara says, but that's not what Rabbi Yavo is, the name of Chanina. Right, he says lo gozol arukim b'Yerushalayim. He says over there they did not make a din d'rabbanan on the spit in Yerushalayim. So if so, why is the spit in the upper marketplace tamei? So itmar lost the answer, no, because Rabbi Alvin Mishim Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kachan Shogayim HaYisham. Yeah, you make a mistake. They did what they were with Tameh, that spit, because there was the big fortress of the Goyim up there, and they said that it was Tameh. So Bishar Yemos Hashanah, the Mishnah also talks about Yossi. Right? It says Bishar Yemos Hashanah, Tamei Mahalchim Shiboles, right, which I think means in the middle, the Tahorim Mahalchim Atzad. So the rest of the year, the Tameim walk in the middle, and the Tahorim on the side, the HaTahorim Mahalchim Stam. And the ones who are Torah, they just walk quietly. But Tameim Omerlam Proshu. And the Tameim himself tell the Tahorim, stay away, we're Tamei, stay away. They're the ones who say it. Bishas HaRegel, during the times of the Regel, HaTahorim Mahalchim Shiboles, the Tahorim walk in the middle, but Tameim Mahalchim in the Tzad, and the Tameim walk on the side, but Tameim Mahalchim Stam, and the Tameim walk quietly, the Tahorim Omerlam Proshu. And the Tahorim say to them, stay away from us, we're Torah. Okay. The Mishnah then said, the Chol HaKelim, right? You talked about the Kelim. If they're found on the way down to the Mikvah, then they're Tamei. But if they're found on the way up, then they're Tahor. So Gemara says, Lo Kein Amar Rabbi Bo V'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, right? That's not true, right? Because didn't Rabbi Bo, same name Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Gatzru HaKelim Shev Yerushalayim. They didn't make a Gzeru about Kelim found in Yerushalayim. Gemara says, Nachnami. That might be Kelim found in Yerushalayim. But Mikavin here, Shenim So, Derech Yeridu Beis HaTfilah, since we see them on the way down to the Mikvah, that's Nasu HoKeach. That's a proof that they were Tameh, because otherwise, why are they going down? So yeah, if you find Stam in Yerushalayim, he's going to say, you're right, they didn't make a Gzeira. But if you see it going down to the Mikvah, it's not that we're being Choshesh, we're assuming that for sure is Tameh. Okay, Abashol Hayakori Osan Tziporin. So this is now, he says over here, this is going back to Rabbi Yosei, who said that all the Kelim in Yerushalayim are Tahor, except for, like we said, like the basket, the sal, the shovel, and the thing called the Meritza, which are used for the graves. So Abba Shaul would call this meritza, this pick, I guess, he would call it tziporin, which is like a fingernail, right? Manda amar tziporin, why do you call it tziporin? Shayadoma, the tziporin. It was similar to a fingernail, like it was this axe, like it's this pickaxe that they would use, right? Manda amar meritza, the one who called it meritza, is shemeritza is evan lebeis hakvaros, because meritza, I guess, means like to run, larutz means to run, and I guess they did this because with this tool, you run, you take this tool, and you run to the beis hakvaros, take the Evan, to take the stone and close the burial cave, because they're getting a bit buried in the caves. Okay, Kupitz. The Mishnah then said also that if you had the idea with the cleaver, the Mishnah said at the end, if the cleaver was tied to the knife, then the cleaver has the same din as the knife. So if it's found on your Dalid, you can assume it's Tahor and you can use it. Right, so Tani, Tani HaKasakim Shu'ala HaReza Kamosa. But Brisa says the opposite. The Brisa says if the knife is found tied to the cleaver, then it goes according to the cleaver, and we assume it is, even though a knife usually, we assume it's Tahor on Yud Dalet. If it's tied to the cleaver, then we're going to assume it's not Tahor on Yud Dalet. Okay. Now we get to the curtain in the base of Migdash. I guess it's clear the second base of Migdash. There was this big curtain between the Ulam and the Heichal. Yeah, the big curtain. It was really long. These didn't, and inside also, there was the big curtain. It was thick. They didn't have a wall there. And they have space in between the two curtains because they didn't know exactly where the border was. So Parocha Shinitmes. So you have the curtain that became Tamei. I don't know how it becomes Tamei. Bivlata Tuma. So it became Tamei from a Sheni. So a Sheni cannot create anything in Kalim, can't transmit Tumah to Kalim, but Midorabanan, they said it can. So what they do is Matbilan Osa Bifnim. We take the curtain down, we're Tovel it, I guess it was a big mikvah, I guess they were Tovel it, and then since it was only Midorabanan, they didn't take it out of Harabayas, they would Tovel it in Bifnim, Umachnisan Osa Miyad, and we didn't even have to wait till nightfall, we didn't have to wait for Erev Shemesh, put the mikvah, put it back up, don't have to wait for anything. But
Bifnim is Bifnim what?
Inside the base of Migdash.
Where?
That's why I asked, I don't know, they must have had some big mikvah somewhere. They must have had mikvahs everywhere there. I don't know, it must have been big enough because we're going to see in a moment. There's a lot of them. The Kohen Gadol used a bunch of mikvahs on Yom Kippur. I'm assuming one of them was big enough for the curtain, for the parochas. That's what they had one. Yeah, that's for sure. We'll see that. We'll see them in a few weeks, few days. We start doing the avodah of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, but now, nitmeis ba'avatumah. But it became Tamei through a Av. I guess it came in touch with the goof of a nevela of a sheretz or something like that. It became in touch with an Avatumah. So now it's really Tamei, because that Av can make Kalim Tamei as a Rishon. So Matzbilin Oto B'chutz. Now we got to take it out. It's really Tamei now. So now we got to take it down, take it out. V'shotchin Oso B'chel. So after you immersed it, then you spread it out on the Chel, right? The Chel is it was like this... on the outside, like this fence, or maybe it's a rampart, this type of way to describe it. So they have this idea, this thing that went up to, it's a low wall that was around the Beis HaMikdash, right? because you need to wait for nightfall. Like anything else that's tamei, you need to wait for nightfall in order for it to become fully taller, right? Now, this I'm not sure here. If it was new, right? If this curtain was new, right? Then shotchin osa ala gag ha'itzdeba. Then they would dry it out on the top of a bench. Right, it's a place kadesh yira am es melachtosh, you know, so everybody would see how beautiful it was. I'm not sure if this means tam, if it's new, or is it talking about if a new one became tame?
No.
Just any new one.
Before you get into service,
you have to show it off. Okay.
You have to put it in a ritual.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So now Rav Shimon Gamliel says the name of Shimon, who I guess was the son of the deputy. Paroches, this paroches ovia. So he's saying its thickness is tefach al shivim, it's a tefach, thick, al shivim mishtayim nimim, it's 72 strands of yarn, nereges al kol nima v'nima esrim v'abrachutim, and each strand had 24 threads. Right, this is a good suit, right? Right, 24 threads. Arka arboin amma, so its length is 40 amma, v'rochba esrim, and its width is 20, and it was made from 82 10,000s, right? So it's 820,000. 820,000. It says here gold dinar. It's a very lot. They would weave two per year. So it would take 300 kohanim to take it down and to toivel it. Okay. Now the Gemara says that every one of the strands of yarn used to weave the curtain was made of 24 threads. Right, so the Gemara says, because it quotes a pasuk, it says, Ilu Amar, this reminds me of the, you know, in the Haggadah, where we take every word and we add to the Makos. So it says, Ilu Amar Chut, if it said the word Chut, that would be one. If it said Kafel, it would say Stat, two. If it said Shazor, it would be three threads. But Mashar, it says the Shisha. But since it says the word Mashar, that means six. It had six, I guess six threads. They had four different things that were in each thread, right? So highest rim arba, so it's 24. The Gemara says, no, Tani, it was not 24, it was 32. Because Ilam or Chut would be Echad, the word Chut would mean one, the word Kafu would mean two, the word Shazor would mean four, the word Mashar is double, which would mean eight. So eight times arba mikan, eight times four different types of materials, right? So that is 32. 32, so therefore it's 32 threads. Then another bride says, no, it's 48 threads. Ilam Chut had said Chut, it would mean one thread. If it said Kafel, it would mean two. If it said Klia, it would be, say, three. Shazor is double Klia, it would mean six. If it says Mashar, which is double Shazor, that's 12. Avram Ikan, four different types of material. 12 times four, 48. So now the Gemara says, wait, Pasuk Echad Omer Maisei Rokem. One Pasuk says it's the work of the embroiderer, and one says it's Maisei Choshev. It's the work of a skillful workman. So Maisei Rokem just means that parts of Echad, that it had a face on one side of the curtain, and Maisei Choshev means they parts of folks. When they were able to sew it, they sewed it in such a way that the face, whatever image was on both the front and the back. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, Chalam, and Maisei Rokem, how they do it, Maisei Rokem, they would do is Ari Mikan or Ari Mikan. When they sewed it, they would end up being a face of a lion on both sides. Maisei Choshev means Ari Mikan or Chalak Mikan. They sewed it in a way that on one side there was a lion, and the other side was smooth. Nothing there. The Charana Amar, no, Maisei Roke means Ari Mikan, V'Cholak Mikan. Maisei Roke means it would just be a line on one side and smooth on the other side. Maisei Choshen means Ari Mikan, V'Nesher Mikan. They did it in such a way that they would stitch it, so the stitch would look like a lion on one side and an eagle, I guess, right, on the other side. Then the Mishnah said that the curtain was made from 800, right, and 20,000 golden dinar. Reb Yitzchak Bar Bizna B'Shem Shmuel Guzma. That's an exaggeration. And the 300 kohanim is also an exaggeration. They're saying it was really, really nice, and it was pretty heavy. Right? Taman Tanina, just like we learned elsewhere, Panim Haya Alek Kishloshes Meyakor. We learned in the Mishnah Tami that says that the pile of ash that would gather on the side of the Mizbeach at times, and they say there was 300 kor. We say there also that is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Bun, B'Shem Shmuel Guzma. He said that's also an exaggeration. Okay, we'll stop here. Pick up tomorrow.
I think tomorrow we have regular time.